X-ray, Brabble, Oscar, X-ray, written by The Dancing Dove, read by Mistborn Hero, a Star Wars podfic rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Cody, Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as the characters Chris, Boyle, Waxer, Gregor, and other 212th Attack Battalion members. It is tagged for Point of View, Outsider, Crack Treated Seriously, Canon Compliant. Don't try to tell me that there wouldn't be gamer clones. I misuse military tactical terms. Military tactical terms as a metaphor for obtaining video games. Shout out to my friend for naming all of the original clone characters, especially my Xbox. Extensive research was done for this week. By which, I mean, I googled lists of military slang. And laughed my head off at the creative use of acronyms. This was supposed to be Cody one, but ended up 30% gamer grind and 40% military tactics wordplay. It's still 30% Cody one, though. Deck level 3, barracks, bunk room, unit 27. Artillery Trooper CT-9269, Xbox, knew enough to the 212 that he was still occasionally called Shiny, sat on his bunk, scrolling through Spreadit gaming forums longingly. If only... So, what's up with you? Xbox squadmate Caliver asks. Most of the squad was in the bunk room, having just finished eating at the mess hall. You look like a kicked massive. PS30 release date, Xbox said morosely. Oh shit, that was today? His squadmate, Sumer, asked. Yeah, Xbox replied gloomily. And why are we supposed to give a shit about that? Their squadmate, Bull, asked as he stored pieces of his armor in his locker. Sumer scoffed. Because the PS600 is only the number one console in the market? It makes all the other consoles look like Bantha fodder in comparison. This one's somehow better than the other million different gaming consoles that exist in the galaxy? Bull asked, doubtfully. 32K resolution, bud, Sumer stressed. The PSR-500 processor makes protocol droids jealous. Plus, all the video game developers are now releasing kick-ass games that can only be played in the PB450X30. I want to play Planet Dubali in 32K, Xbox added mournfully. Fuck that! I want to play the new Halo of Duty game, Sumer said. Advanced Warfare 7 is supposed to be way better than 6. I want Age Origins on a console, especially a console like that, would be a whole different game compared to AAO on the PH, Caliber offered. Xbox tapped over to the next gamer forum he frequented. Sure enough, they were all discussing the PY900J45-2. What's the point of talking about this? Bull asked. It's not like you're ever going to get a gaming console, much less this fancy one. Summer thwacked him on the back of his head. Way to be a downer, bud. Well, it wouldn't be impossible to get some sort of console. Caliber mused. Xbox sighed. It wouldn't even be worth it. Not after today, he said, woeful. Pretty soon, the PB-755O is gonna be the only console around functionally. Showing up with a PS26 or something like that will get you laughed out of his Reddit forums. The room was silent for a brief moment while they all contemplated that. But imagine if we did get one, said Sumer, the best gaming console ever designed, with exclusive new games. All the other battalions would perish on the spot from the jealousy. It would be awesome to have one in the rec room, Caliber suggested. Clones did not need any spaces designated for recreation, at least not according to the Kaminoans or the Natborn Admiralty. But once it became clear after deployment that Yetis wouldn't report any of them for stuff like that, the rec rooms were some of the first unsanctioned things to appear on the Venators. They were closely followed by hair dye, tattoo guns, and sweets. Since there were no actual rec rooms on any of the Venators, what Caliber was referring to was actually a storage warehouse unit for deck level 3. It had been originally intended to store consumables like soap or toothbrushes, but the people who designed the Venators were clearly operating with Natborn's conceptualization of how many items could fit in a certain small area, so the body had almost immediately rearranged all of the storage spaces on the ship. This freed up dozens of different shelves and cabinets, and in some cases, freed up entire rooms, like the Storage Warehouse Unit 4, Deck Level 3 of the Negotiator. And thus, the Rec Room was born. Since it was a venture that officially didn't exist, all items for the Rec Room were procured during any free time they might have on planet, which was rare. This was further complicated by the fact that none of them had anything like a salary, so the rec room was a dismal affair. There was a hall projector set up for watching holofilms, and some dedicated bot had managed to somehow smuggle an entire couch. When a table from the mess hall needed a replacement, they had kept the broken one and put it in the rec room. Someone had drawn some lines on the table's surface in order to play a game that had never been fully explained to Xbox. The game usually involved one or more plastic and or rubber balls, and the rules seemed to change each time it was played. But that was about all the 212th had managed to set up. Suffice to say, the rec room could really use some dedicated armaments. Even if you had the credits, would you even be able to find one? Bull asked. Surely they are not something you could pick from the local on-planet market. No, of course not, Xbox said. Even at the space mare stops on Coruscant, there's sentience waiting in line for hours. That put a bit of a dampener on the mood in the room. At least, until Caliber said, but ordering one directly from the company is still pretty reliable. Very true, Sumer said. That could work, except for the part where none of us have any credits. We don't have any credits, Caliber replied, but I was talking to Chase. He's up in QM, and he told me some stuff about their purchase orders, the amount of credits that pass through that office every day, the cost of a PQA589NP20 would be nothing compared to that. Everyone was silent for a moment to think that over, this time optimistically. Finally, Sumer spoke. But who's gonna be the one to ask? One by one, every single one of his squadmates turned to Xbox. Xbox got a sinking feeling. Listen, I'm not, he started. Summer interrupted him before he could finish his protest. No, you started this whole thing. You're leading this operation now. Xbox wanted to protest some more, but the expression on his squadmate's face told him that he wasn't going to get anywhere. Well, Xbox was a soldier in the Grand Army of the Republic. He knew how to plan an op. This mission would just look a little different than the ones he was used to, but tactics and strategy were universal. Xbox had some planning to do. Deck Level 2, Mess Hall 2. Marshal Commander Cody of the 212th Attack Battalion did not look up from his datapad as he spoke.
What is it?
When Xbox had envisioned making this request, he had imagined approaching the commander in a more informal setting, going through the salute and greeting expected when addressing a CO, and explaining that he had a question about the rec room. That was, indeed, what had just happened, but Xbox had failed to envision the way his palms were sweating, or the intimidation exuded by the commander's... everything. Well, the rec room is so critical for morale, sir, Xbox hesitantly explained, and the new gaming console released this week would make a great... The commander still didn't look up from whatever report he was reading.
No.
It's just that...
No.
But... The commander did look up at that.
Are your duties so minimal that you have this much time on your hands? Are you in need of some additional assignments?
No, sir, Xbox said, and slunk out of the mess hall. He made his way towards an alternate first meal location, ideally one that was a affiliated position. Use all natural and artificial obstacles to avoid a formation in enfilade, and so on. Perhaps somebody might be discouraged by a failed first attempt, but not Xbox. An initial dismissal didn't necessarily mean the end of the entire operation. No plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. Xbox simply needed to reassess the battlefield. Deck Level 2, Hangar 3. It was possible that Xbox's updated plan of attack had failed to account for some of the entrenchments on the battlefield. Xbox had been in Hangar 3 for unrelated reasons when he realized that the commander was present, as well as unoccupied for the moment. Well, as close to unoccupied as the commander got, which meant that he was working on something that wasn't an emergency or otherwise exigent. Xbox should have known that by being unaccompanied did not equal more amenable to suggestions that were not mission critical. The commander had actually put down his datapad to address Xbox this time, but that wasn't necessarily a good thing.
Pretty sure I already gave you an answer to this question, the commander said.
Xbox wouldn't normally lower himself to this, but when it came to the SB-355 KLP-80, Xbox was not above begging. Please, sir, Xbox said. You're in charge of signing off on all requisitions. You're the only one that could approve something like this. The commander was fully armored, including a bucket, but all the body were expert in reading armored body language. Xbox watched the commander go from vague exasperation to furious outrage.
I'm gonna have to ask that you repeat that, bud. The commander said every word clipped, because surely I did not just hear you suggest that I use official GAR resources for your non-essential rec room needs. Xbox said, do you even know what it costs to maintain this Venator? The commander was gaining momentum now. The price of replacing lost or damaged weapons, the price of vehicle maintenance, the price of armor updates, the price of the Sith spent fuel. Xbox was really starting to regret initiating this conversation. And the price of feeding all of you ordinies, none of which is cheap. The quartermasters of the Third Systems Army are already overworked trying to provide us all with functional DCs and basic medical supplies, and you want me to send them a request for a gaming console? Xbox wasn't sure if he was supposed to answer that or not. He ventured. I mean, it's the FS-5688-JB-40, though. The commander pointed towards the door.
Get out.
Xbox said, I...
Dismissed, trooper.
Yes, sir. Xbox said, and exited the hangar. Deck Level 3, Barracks, Bunkroom Unit 27. Caliber was already in the bunkroom when Xbox made it there after his shift, storing his armor in his locker. Xbox went to do the same, and Caliber plopped down onto his bunk to watch Xbox.
So?
Caliber began. Xbox set to working off his band braces.
Yep.
How did it go, Sidrep? Asked Caliber, a bit too eagerly for someone who had been safely out of range the whole time. Counter battery fire disrupted target acquisition, Xbox told him. Need more reconnaissance for a successful indirect approach.
The commander said no.
Caliber looked thoughtful at this. He was silent as Xbox unlatched his cuisses and greaves. Eventually, Caliber said,
you need a rapid deployment flanking maneuver.
Xbox looked at Caliber quizzically.
Flanking maneuver? You know, go around the commander and hit the commander's weak spot.
Xbox raised an eyebrow disbelievingly at this.
Commander Cody and weak didn't go together in a sentence.
Weak spot? Xbox asked. Caliber nodded seriously.
Yeah. General Kenobi, obviously. Get the general on board and you're set.
Xbox narrowed his eyes at Caliber.
And how am I supposed to do that?
Caliber made a pfft noise.
But that's the easy part. Just go stand anywhere in the vicinity of the general and make a comment that implies that our quality of life is somehow diminished. You'll have the DFWW-740LP by the end of the day.
Xbox considered this. Given what he had heard about the general's reaction to their standard rations, this was probably true. All the mess halls were now stocked with spices from at least 16 different planets.
Sure, Xbox said. But the mutual support interlocking fire will destroy any frontal assault.
Why? Caliber asked.
Oh, because you're not going to be able to find a time when the general is both available for questions and not in the same room as the commander?
Exactly. Caliber had gotten a bag of hard candies from somewhere, probably Swipe,
and popped one in his mouth before he responded.
See, normally I would agree, but your force multiplier will give you an amazing holding attack, Caliver said, voice muffled around the candy. Xbox snatched the candy out of the bag before Caliver could react and stuffed it in his mouth, ignoring Caliber's protest.
Wait, what's the force multiplier and what's the holding attack?
Caliber gave Xbox a dirty look, but was enjoying learning his superior knowledge over Xbox too much to stop the conversation.
The force multiplier is that he's a Jedi. Force multiplier, get it?
And is physically incapable of existing near any perceived distress without trying to help.
Caliber explained. The holding attack is that the commander is physically incapable of jeopardizing anything that the general's excited about, so you should be good.
Well, target acquisition was the first step towards any successful engagement. If Xbox had misidentified the location of certain fortifications, then additional intel would be of value.
Unfortunately, their conversation was interrupted by the entrance of their squadmate, Bolt, who had walked into the bunk room showing off his new haircut. The new style looked like a panther shearing gone terribly wrong, so of course it was their duty as squadmates to bully him about it. They never got back to discussing the new battle plans, but the commotion over Bull meant that Caliber didn't notice Xbox sneaking two more candies out of his bag. So it evened out in the end. Deck Level 2, Storage Warehouse Unit 3, Section 28, Artillery Battery Ordnance. Xbox thought about his conversation with Caliver as he inventoried each category of mortal shell in the warehouse. Updated target acquisition was only the first part, of course. The next part was modifying the operation parameters to accommodate a change in primary subject. The problem was that the change in primary subject both obstructed the terrain and cleared the terrain. General Kenobi was both more approachable and less approachable than Commander Cody. More approachable because of his frequent insistence that he was always available if they ever needed anything and because his overall open and patient attitude. Less approachable because he was a high general and a Jedi and one of the most famous Jedi currently alive at that. A wave attack wouldn't work here. For several reasons, the main one being that the primary subject had shielding systems in place that would need to be circumvented for a successful offensive, namely one Commander Cody, who was almost always located in close proximity to one General Kenobi. If the two of them were up and working at the same time, which was basically 80% of the hours in any given day because neither of them slept, then they could be found in the same room. Finding a time and place where General Kenobi was both without the commander and available for non-urgent questions would be, as Caliver pointed out, next to impossible. So, Xbox would need to plan a covert operation, also known as bring up the topic in a way that the commander won't be able to shoot down in front of the general. And the most effective way to do that was definitely going to be Caliber's suggestion. Any hint that the clones might be lacking in the basic necessities of life would immediately trigger a state of emergency for the general. Thankfully for Xbox, the general's idea of what constituted basic necessities of life was very different from a clone's idea of what constituted the basic necessities of life. It was entirely possible that General Kenobi would, in fact, consider video games to be on the list of necessities for the population of this Venator. As far as Xbox knew, this wasn't even exclusive to the 212th.
He had yet to meet General Kun, but it was common knowledge in the Gar that the wolf pack's reputation as one of the best sources for obtaining natborn commodities could be attributed to their general's tendency for gift-giving. If the black market in your own battalion couldn't get you something you had been looking for, your best bet was to hope that your unit would be stationed close to the 104th in the near future. So, Xbox was confident that it would be really easy to get the general involved. Xbox only needed an opportunity to bring the topic up to General Kenobi.
Deck Level 1, Communication, Station 6.
Amazingly, it was the general himself that broached the subject. Ostensibly, the general and most of the officers were here for some official briefing. In reality, the briefing would last about 20 minutes and then the gathering would become more of a chit-chat. This could happen anywhere, but most likely to happen in the Comms Station 6 because it had unquestionably superior calf-making facilities. The officers, who drank more calf than water, and the general, who had modified the calf station to also make tea, were all reluctant to leave the vicinity of a premium calf source, and thus these briefings tended to run long. If they ran long enough, off-shift Bare would drop in to partake in the superior calf and would then inevitably participate in the chit-chat as well. Half of the officers had already left to do their actual jobs, but the groups loitering in the Station 6 still included the other half of the officers, the general, half of Xbox's squad, three mechanics, part of Porjudge's squad, a few ARFs, and the comms crew that was actually assigned to be there. Pretty packed, but this was one of the largest comms stations. Not everyone could have a chair, but this was a necessary sacrifice for the calf. Xbox was prolonging the last few sips of his calf. It really was better than anything from the mess halls, in the hopes that an opportunity would arise with the general. Also, the topics of conversation were very entertaining and frequently educational.
And he never noticed that General Irin was hiding extra cards, sir?
Captain Gregor asked. General Kenobi sighed long-sufferingly. No, Anakin was not able to pick up on Bant's sleight of hand. I'm quite sure that even to this day, he believes that Bant, Quinlan, and I would never even dream of cheating at a card game.
There were several scoffs or snickers at that, mostly from the Bare that had been serving with General Kenobi for the longest.
Just a few months ago, Anakin insisted on Ahsoka learning how to properly place a pack, and then insisted on being the one to teach her. General Kenobi shook his head a little. For the sake of her education, I had to step in.
Well, if that was for her education, Sergeant Barlex said, managing to keep both his voice and his expression completely sincere.
Of course, the general said, a Padawan must be well-rounded after all, and I believe that she consulted some of the members of the 501st after I spoke with her, so now she's quite the fierce Sabacc opponent.
Sir, could General Skywalker not use the Force to help with the game? Or whatever that's called? Asked one of the paratroopers.
Well, I personally would never use the Force in such an improper and superfluous way, said the man who had just the day before used the Force to keep his tea from spilling on the table. But yes, it is possible to use the Force to gain an advantage at Sabacc. Skillful and unscrupulous, Force users could stack the deck, view their opponent's card, or otherwise conceal rigged cards. If nothing else,
As a Jedi, Anakin should have been able to sense his opponent's emotional states. Unfortunately, emotional awareness, both Force and otherwise, has never been my Padawan's strong suit. I don't believe that Anakin has ever won a game of Sabacc against any opponent, Force sensitive or not. Xbox had also never won a game of Sabacc in his life, but he wasn't a sorcerer with the power to manipulate the fabric of reality, so he figured this insufficiency could be overlooked. I am told that Anakin has had much more success in the world of video games. The general went on to say, Xbox perked up.
Do you know which games, sir?
Xbox asked. The general made a little, noise. Oh, I believe it was one of those Call of Duty games. I'm not sure which one, though. I am aware that there are several.
There were actually 16 Call of Duty games released previously, with the 17th release in conjunction with the new HK800WF50L80 console. But close enough.
Oh? Xbox asked, trying desperately to keep his voice even.
Has General Skywalker had a chance to play the one that was just released, sir?
Is that why he and Ahsoka have been staying up all night with the holoscreens lately? The General asked curiously. I hadn't realized there was a new one.
It was released alongside the new HT7000 SF3000 console, sir.
Xbox tried to allow only helpful but telling his general helpful things onto his expression and nothing else. This was the most delicate part of the op. Xbox needed to be extremely careful with his words. I am not what Anakin would call a gamer, the general informed him. I couldn't tell you the names of any consoles at all, much less the new ones.
This one's very special, sir, he told his general, who was listening as dutifully as he always listened to any bot that expressed interest in a specific hobby. It's much better than any other console currently in existence. In fact, it's so much better that some games like the new Call of Duty game can only be played on this one.
I had no idea that you were so knowledgeable about video games, Xbox, General Kenobi said, fascinated. Have you used many different gaming consoles, then?
This was it. This was Xbox's chance. Never actually played a game on any console, sir, Xbox said. He remembered Caliper's advice and added, none of us were ever given the opportunity. Commander Cody, who had just gotten up from his seat a minute ago to refill his calf mug, went completely still upon hearing Xbox's words. He then turned away from the calf station and towards Xbox very, very slowly. Xbox could feel the commander's stare as a physical sensation, but he studiously avoided any and all eye contact with the commander. This was the best shot at this that Xbox would get. He had to take full advantage of it. The general was facing away from the commander and was therefore unaware of the popper with the pin pulled just behind him.
Never, he asked, brows creased. I know you all have been working very hard in the rec room. Is there not one there?
They're difficult to get outside of specialized game stores, sir, Xbox said. It's often necessary to order one.
In for a credit cheat, he thought, and pressed on.
The GP 866
FT-8000 is pretty easy to order, though. General Skywalker could probably tell you about it, or even plenty of us in the battalion, sir. If we had one in the rec room, it would be very popular.
The general looked delighted. Oh, that would be a wonderful idea. I'm sure many of the men would enjoy something like that. Xbox mentally ran a victory lap, but his celebration was soon revealed to be premature.
I'm sure we could set something up. No trouble at all. General Kenobi continued. During the last minute, the commander had been inching closer and closer to Xbox, and was now within the general's field of vision. General Kenobi noticed him standing there and said happily,
Oh, perfect. The commander's already here. Cody, can you help figure all that out?
He said, oblivious. The commander gave the general a look that Xbox would have called completely and utterly betrayed if it weren't shot with unending affection. Xbox judged the distance to the door, wondering if he could make it out if he made a break for it right then.
Of course, sir.
The commander was definitely gritting his teeth.
What a great project. I most certainly will assist Artillery Trooper Xbox here in procuring items for the rec room. Why don't you come with me, Trooper?
Xbox could see out of the corner of his eye that every other clone in the room had started backing away slowly, and some had already fled the room entirely. The commander turned and walked out without waiting for a response from Xbox. Xbox cast a look at the general, who was smiling like he had given Xbox a great gift, and not at all like he had condemned Xbox to a horrible, terrible fate. Xbox tried for a thankful smile, but wasn't sure he managed it. He wanted to drag his feet, but didn't want the general to ask if he was all right, so he walked towards the door as slowly as he thought he could get away with. ARF Trooper Boyle was one of the few body left in the room, and he was standing near the door. He watched Xbox approach, then just quietly said,
Bowed Bell? Tome Tile Bud?
This was a very alarming thing to say because it was a phrase most often used after General Grievous or Ventress stepped onto the battlefield.
I'm not actually in physical danger, right?
Xbox hissed. Boyle looked Xbox up and down, eyebrows raised, and didn't reply. Xbox followed the commander out of the door.
Deck Level 1. Hallway.
The commander was waiting for Xbox partway down the hallway. Xbox had always heard the phrase, if looks could kill, used grammatically in the subjective mood. Commander Cody, however, was well on his way to making it a statement of the indicative. Xbox briefly considered making a rapid withdrawal of all forces, i.e. running very fast in the opposite direction, but everything about the commander's demeanor suggested that this would be unwise. He cautiously joined the commander. It didn't escape Xbox's notice that the commander had chosen a location that was just outside of the hearing distance of everyone still on Station 6. The commander waited until after Xbox's tentative, Sir, to say,
I know what you're trying to do, and I don't appreciate it.
Xbox summoned up his best.
You've clearly mistaken me for some other clone that was obviously the cause of all this property damage expression and said,
I've no idea what you're referring to, sir.
I mean it.
The commander hissed.
This is not going to work.
Pretty sure it already has. Xbox said, and regretted the words as soon as they left his mouth. Button-butt violence was extremely common in the especially outside of the sidelines of commanding officers, but it was an unspoken agreement that it would never escalate to the point of needing a Bacta tank for anyone. Commander Cody looked like he was seriously considering making an exception for X-Bucks. X-Bucks was saved from needing a visit to the medics by the sound of voices behind him. It seemed that the Station 7 gossip session was coming to a close. One voice in particular made the commander look up, clearly more of an involuntary response than a conscious switch of focus. He glanced at X-Bucks, then looked back down the hall, and then visibly adjusted whatever he had been planning to say.
"You will go and speak with the quartermasters," the commander said, each word deliberate. "And they will explain to you why this is a waste of your, and more importantly, my time. I don't want to hear about this again."
X-Bucks saluted. He would agree to anything at this point if it could prevent his immediate dismemberment.
"Dismissed,"
the commander said offhandedly, clearly distracted by whatever was happening near the entrance of Station 6.
"Yes, sir,"
X-Bucks said, and exited the area faster than he had ever left a room before. Deck Level 3, Barracks, Bunk Room Unit 27. Caliber was reclining on his bunk when X-Bucks walked in, doing something on a datapad. X-Bucks threw a spare DC-15 energy cell at his squadmate, feeling pleased when it hit Caliber directly on the forehead. Caliber squawked and sat up, offended, but was prevented from retaliation by X-Bucks flopping onto the bunk next to Caliber and half-covering Caliber with his body weight. Caliber grumbled and shoved at X-Bucks' leg until he could settle into a more comfortable position.
"So?
Your suggestion worked in that there's a solid chance of obtaining the FF6700REE340 console sometime soon," X-Bucks informed him. "But was a complete failure in that I won't be alive to see it. What with my impending murder and all that." Caliber gave him a shit-eating grin. "Aww, the commander didn't appreciate you going over his head to appeal to a senior CO?" X-Bucks whacked him on the shoulder. "No, he did not, you absolute dupefucker. I'm nearly certain the only reason I'm still alive is that my public murder would probably make General Kenobi sad and disappointed in the commander." "But that's exactly why this will work," Caliber exclaimed. "The commander will annihilate any person or thing that threatens to make General Kenobi even a little bit upset. So, if denying the request for the R500-608-GHTT-2300 would bother the general, then the commander is completely cornered. He'll encircle his own damn sortie." X-Bucks gave Caliber a skeptical look. "Seriously," Caliber said. "The only person sure to beat the commander is the commander himself. The best thing about this tactic is how it's guaranteed to get us the LL-89-OBM-800-F-35, because interference from the commander is blocked by his own repressed emotions."
"And how is it going to prevent my untimely demise, huh?"
X-Bucks asked.
"Hmm?
The best thing about these tactics is also how it will lead to me not being murdered, right?" X-Bucks said.
"Oh, sure, that too, I guess."
The ensuing wrestling match may have broken at least one piece of furniture, but they both agreed to blame it on Bull. No one would doubt that their clumsy squadmate had been the cause of more damage to his surroundings. Deck Level 1, Administration, Office of the Quartermaster. Reki,
head quartermaster of the 7th Star Corps, and stationed on a negotiator to help with admin for the 212th, raised his eyebrows higher and higher with every successive sentence. Xbox, when he first walked into Reki's office, had been met with, "What the fuck did you say to the commander, bud?" As Reki forewent any standard greeting. Xbox explained the recent events, starting with the GJ40YY3855 release date and going through his various attempts to convince the commander. After he finished his explanation, Reki just stared at Xbox silently for a moment. Xbox shifted his weight a bit, slightly uncomfortable with the lack of a response. Finally, Reki just said,
"Carbon Hokan Jack, bud."
Xbox frowned. "I was under the impression that that's a phrase that typically follows a red lightsaber spotted call on comms." Reki wasn't moved.
"Same principle applies here."
Well, that wasn't reassuring. "But General Kenobi approved of this, and he outranks the commander," Xbox said, indignant. Reki sighed, deeply and with feeling.
"You will not tell a single soul what I'm about to say, or Commander Cody will be the least of your problems, you understand?"
"Of course, sir," Xbox responded, curious now about what Reki would say. Reki eyed him suspiciously for a second, but went on.
"General Kenobi has no idea how to supply hundreds of thousands of troops across multiple planets. Excellent CO in the field, but completely hopeless when it comes to the actual logistics of sustaining a functioning army. He forgets to get dinner for himself at least twice a week. You think he knows about ordering enough bed linens before the next shipment of troops comes in from Kamino, or about how to calculate the minimum number of mouse droids that we can purchase while still covering cleaning needs?"
Xbox blinked, taken aback. That wasn't what he had expected Reki to say.
"The signature on almost every single requisition form that passes through this officer is Commander Cody's, Bodica. And the ones signed by General Kenobi were probably also forged by the commander. If he says we don't have the funds for a gaming console, then we don't have the funds for a gaming console," Reki said.
Xbox wasn't quite sure how to respond. He looked at the floor.
Reki sighed again. "It's sweet that you're thinking of morale on this ship, and about trying to remind us all that life exists outside of this war, but Commander Cody doesn't have that luxury, because he's responsible for hundreds of thousands of people, all of whom need specific resources to stay alive and keep fighting. That sort of logistical organization doesn't leave a lot of time for video games, so cut him some slack. He probably would love to buy you all 1,000 gaming systems, but he can't think about that when the Admiralty is denying half of our requisitions of Bacta."
"Oh," Xbox said, faintly. "That was a lot to think about." Reki gave him a moment, then shrugged and said,
"He's still going to cut you like a fish, though. I wouldn't wander any dark corridors alone for the next few weeks."
Xbox laughed unsteadily.
"You're just kidding about that, right?"
Reki remained impassive.
"Sure, Bodica."
Gar Standard Issue Communications Unit, serial number 382-453920-475831. CC-2224.
Shakaji, shiny. "Turns out, Kenobi was serious about getting your game thingy."
"It's a YH600RP8800D600 gaming console, sir."
"Don't care. Go talk to Reki. I already approved the rec. He just needs the name of the thing." Thank you, sir. And you will never ask me for another favor for as long as you serve in the 212th. Understood? 10-4, sir.
Deck Level 3, Storage Warehouse Unit 4, alternatively known as Rec Room. X-Box stood motionless. His eyes did not stray from the objects of his focus. Caliver, Summer, and Bull peered over his shoulder, but they were also too in awe of the object to actually touch it. Sambad, who clearly did not understand the pricelessness of this cargo, had transported the TT-5000 FSRDG-680 from its location in the latest resupply shipment and brought it to the rec room, where he had carelessly left it on the couch.
Is that real? Summer whispered. Is that actually a TF-HAN-500-NM-5684-30 in front of us, or am I in a coma and hallucinating everything that happened?
I thought the same thing, but we can't both be hallucinating the exact same experience, X-Box whispered in reply.
So, it must actually be here.
Okay, you don't need to whisper,
Bull said, and his voice was jarringly loud for the sacred atmosphere.
It's just a thing in a box and it lets you play video games.
His limited mind cannot comprehend the power of the LAV-F-800-NH-HW-3270-M-400,
X-Box whispered to the other two.
Bull threw his hands up into the air.
I give up. You weirdos will sit around all day worshipping this stupid thing. I want to see how it actually works,
he said, and moved forward as if to open the box.
No!
X-Box yelped and lunged for the box. Summer was just a bit behind him. Bull backed away with his hands held up defensively.
Stars, you guys are nutters. Fine, I won't touch the unimaginably precious box. You better not, Summer told him as he helped X-Box carefully open the box and unwrap the treasure inside.
Less than half an hour later, the four of them, well, three plus Bull, waited anxiously for the GRUXR-100KF-5600ODS-63 to finish its startup sequence. X-Box and Caliver got the controllers connected, and Summer flipped through the various settings with an air of deep concentration and ultimate reverence.
You're all so weird, Bull informed them.
X-Box held up one of the controllers mockingly.
Oh? If we're so weird, then that means you're not interested in trying it out, right? What? Of course I want to try it.
Bull stepped forward and tried to snatch the controller out of X-Box's hand.
Give me that thing. I'm gonna beat your ass at Spyro Kart.
You wish,
X-Box told him and handed Bull the fourth controller.
Deck Level 3, Storage Warehouse Unit 4, alternatively known as Rec Room.
X-Box, finding himself with a free evening while the Negotiator was in transit, headed towards the Rec Room. Things had been getting tense with some of his villagers in Planet Du Bali, so he had been spending all his time trying to untangle that complicated social web. However, he entered the Rec Room to find it already occupied. Clearly, several other people had ideas similar to X-Box, though their game of choice was different. There was some sort of a Spyro Kart tournament happening that evening. The four controllers were being used by General Kenobi, Chris Waxer, and one of the other second airborne company troopers who X-Box hadn't really met yet. There was also a handful of assorted body clustered around the players, speculating loudly and offering dubious advice. X-Box went to the back of the room to observe for a moment. Chris was clearly not a novice at this game, and was in first place more often than not. The second airborne bot kept falling off the side of the track, and both General Kenobi and Voxer changed places rapidly around the middle of the pack as different items were used. X-Bucks had walked in near the end of their second lap around the track, and tensions rose as the players progressed through their third lap. The body in the audience alternately booed and cheered, depending on who they wanted to win. There was a sudden cry of outrage. General Kenobi had obtained a blue Tuga shell and used it as they were about to finish the race, stopping the first place player, Chris, on his tracks. General Kenobi used the chaos of the explosion to deftly navigate around the other carts, gaining several places in less than 2 seconds and swooping into first place just before crossing the finish line. Half of the audience cheered while the other half groaned, and some patted Chris on the shoulder sympathetically. Chris had sprawled across the beanbag in despair. X-Bucks felt for him. Chris had been perfectly positioned for winning the first place in Rainbow Hyperlane, which was no small achievement. All's fair in Spear Kart and war, General Kenobi informed them all solemnly. But X-Bucks could see him biting back a smile.
That's cold, sir, Chris informed him from the door, although Chris was smiling too.
Rematch? Offered Voxer. He had finished in fourth place, which was pretty respectable, given the circumstances.
Rematch! Rematch!
X-Bucks often thought that watching other people play video games was boring, but apparently the body in the audience did not agree, because they had taken up the rematch chant with vigor.
Evidently, General Kenobi said to Voxer, and went back to the map section. The impending rematch stalled for a while as everyone started debating the merits of the different maps, and which ones were better demonstrator of overall Sparrow Kart skill. A small movement on the edge of X-Bucks' field of vision made him turn to look. It seemed that X-Bucks was not the only unobtrusive observer hanging around at the back of the room. The commander was looking more relaxed than X-Bucks had ever seen him. He was only wearing the lower half of his armor and was leaning against what had originally been a full-sized storage cabinet. The ever-present datapad was still in his hand, of course, but it looked like it had been on sleep mode for some time now. X-Bucks, like all clones, was fully fluent in BASIC and had such knowledge of other languages as would contribute to operating at peak functionality. If there was a word for the expression on the commander's face, though, the Kaminoans hadn't taught it to X-Bucks. Fairly soon after joining the 212th, X-Bucks had asked around with some of the battalion's veterans to try to find out what exactly the situation was with the commander and the general. He had been informed by every single bot he asked that they had all agreed to just let the two of them sort it out themselves, because if those two hadn't figured it out by now, then they needed more help than the 212th could ever give. You can lead a shuttle to water and all that. Looking at the commander's expression just then, X-Bucks absolutely agreed. He didn't get paid enough to deal with that level of complex emotional bullshit.
Well, he didn't get paid at all, but if he did get paid, it still wouldn't be enough to get involved in whatever the hell was going on here. The commander finally tore his gaze away from the players, from one player in particular, long enough to notice X-Bucks. He gave X-Bucks a very calculating look for a few moments. They weren't standing close enough to talk out loud without the others hearing them, so X-Bucks just raised a single eyebrow. The commander narrowed his eyes at X-Bucks, but then the sound of delighted laughter pulled his attention back to the spare card players. When he eventually looked back at X-Bucks, the sense of scrutiny was gone. The commander looked at X-Bucks for another extended moment, expression indecipherable. Finally, After another quick glance back towards the holoscreen, the commander made a gesture that Xbox recognized as the tactical hand sign for Mission Objective Complete. This coming from Commander Cody was as good of a thank you as Xbox would ever get. He didn't delude himself into thinking that anything he had done was what had changed the commander's mind. Xbox knew that it had nothing to do with any sort of gaming and everything to do with that sound of delighted laughter. He was starting to understand what the veterans had meant with the shuttle comment. Xbox gave him the tactical sign for understood and meant it in every sense of the term. The commander nodded at Xbox once. Xbox nodded back. The commander turned back towards the game. They had finally decided on a map and were racing again, and Xbox headed back out the door. Xbox's game could wait for one more night. The end. This has been recorded for Boys Teams 2025 as a way to complete the alphabet. Thank you for listening, I hope you enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.